We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They're celebrating 85 years in East Tennessee. And that's a long, long time. They've been helping their members grow financially that entire time as when it was created. You know, you couldn't really operate with the banks. It just wasn't really an option. And so a group of employees, people that work in this area, banded together and started the credit union, and it's been going strong ever since. Right now, over 20 branches here in East Tennessee and still growing, adding members each and every day at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. They'd love to have you join up as well. You can go to tvacreditunion.com for all the details. And right now, they want to help your kids start saving early with a savings account that pays higher dividends with the first $500 and will get 3%. Anybody under the age of 18 can sign up and get started saving the right way with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of Three and Out. So there's a quote from Clemson's head coach Dabo Swinney. I don't know hit the news cycle so hard now. It's from February, where Dabo referred to himself as Osama bin Dabo. A lot of people are outraged because of the natural comparison of, you know, a football coach with a game that's obviously not that important in the grand scheme of life in our country, with what I think many people agree was maybe the worst day in American history, or at least one of the big moments of all of American history, especially on the negative spectrum of those types of things. Paul Feinbaum really stirred up folks with it. He's obviously, you know, caters to the state of Alabama football. Here's the entire kind of breakdown. Dabo was on SiriusXM with Mike Krzyzewski on February the 14th. Valentine's Day. Kind of weird.
That's nice.
Apparently the questions were kind of, you know, humorous during this, either the whole interview or this section. Like it was trying to kind of ask some off the wall stuff. I mean, it's February the 14th. You're talking to a football coach. You're not obviously not wanting him to break down his depth chart or anything.
Shouldn't Coach K be worried about basketball in February?
I don't know.
It's very strange.
I mean, that would be kind of the opposite, right?
It's an odd time. I'd like to hear this show though. It's kind of I didn't know Coach K did a little podcast. That's or Sirius, whatever it is. That's interesting.
No, I don't know. I don't know who was interviewing. I kind of
Krzyzewski.
He was interviewing Dabo.
Yeah. The show is called Basketball and Beyond with Coach K.
Oh, okay. At first, I thought it meant they were kind of both on together with someone else kind of asking questions.
No, it was Mike Krzyzewski asked Swinney whether there was a wall around his home state because of his success against Alabama.
Wow. Is there a wall around the state of Alabama that doesn't let you in anymore? Or around Pelham, Alabama, can you still go home? I mean, this would be like if Jeremy Pruitt started beating that Alabama ass, and then the people in Rainsville are like, hey, we used to like you, Pruitt.
Get!
But now you better stay up there in those Rocky Top Mountains. Swinney said this, quote, I think it was all fun and games early on. It was, oh, isn't that sweet, and all that stuff. I don't know about walls, but I am kind of like Osama bin Dabo, Swinney said, laughing. I have to navigate my way through the caves and back channels to make my way through Alabama these days. They aren't happy to see me, but it's all good. It's a good problem. I have some thoughts. Would you like to go first?
I would first like to read some other people's thoughts on this. Paul Feinbaum said this is an unacceptable comparison by Dabo and distasteful to the memories of many lives lost and impacted by 9/11. Who was the guy he had on his show? Did you read this?
No.
It was a judgment expert came on the Feinbaum show.
A judgment expert?
Yes.
What are they judging? Dog shows?
I don't know.
Decision making? Judgment? Like good, bad judgment?
Ken Smithmeyer,
is he a counselor?
From P3 Insights, judgment expert. Here's what he said. When I hear comments like Dabo made, it just tells me he's not quite there.
Oh.
Not saying he can't get there someday, but he's not there yet. Smithmeyer said there are some things you just don't joke about ever. Bobby Barak, I don't really even know what Bobby Barak does. He's the writer for The Big Lead. So the title of that article, probably this guy, said calling himself Osama bin Dabo is inexcusable, horrendous, and shows an incredible lack of knowledge on a topic that many feel is the darkest day in this country's history.
A judgment expert.
I didn't know.
So this is a person that sits around and
I didn't know that was a thing.
Tells people that they don't judge things well. This isn't like a judge that executes
the law.
No,
this is based on what I just saw, you made a bad decision.
This is the judgment police. Really? Somebody's making a living off of that. Would you rather be the smartest and have the best judgment or be the best in your field on the entire planet? I think I would rather be dumb as a rock and be uber successful at whatever I do than have great judgment. But maybe that's just me.
Some Florida State blogger said, I'm disgusted. Dabo should step down immediately and learn a lesson.
That's almost in worse taste than this. That's basically saying college football matters more than whatever. Okay, first of all, Dabo, obviously, in the context, is talking about how Osama bin Laden had to be out of sight.
In hiding.
Right. That was the point he was making. If you want to say that you can't use that example because Osama bin Laden obviously, you know, spearheaded the worst terrorist attack in history here, like, I understand the whole thing here. I don't think I'm an idiot that just doesn't get it. I just... like some of the other things we talked about this week, I can see how this might perturb someone. Someone might say, eh. But I don't understand how we have to go to complete outrage at anything, at any one deal here. You can say, eh, that's, eh.
Yeah, I mean, was it the best choice? No. Using a specific name is going to trigger a lot of emotion.
Isn't that, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, I really am, but isn't that why we pick analogies that are at the extreme so we can get our point across very easily?
Yes.
Isn't that why we jump to the extreme? It's not because we actually are trying to make a comparison. In fact, I think that shows you're more of an idiot than saying Dabo Swinney's using bad judgment.
That's where I was going with this.
I'm
like,
sorry.
He's very clearly just trying to say that when I go back to Alabama, I can't just do whatever I want, walk where I want, go where I want, because there are people there who are going to harass me. They're going to ridicule me. It's not going back home really anymore when I go back to my hometown or when I'm in, you know, tied country. That's all he's saying. He used, to your point, a very strong analogy metaphor here to kind of get that point across, and people are just saying, too strong, bro. Too strong. But I don't know what, like, just mentioning the name Osama bin, and then obviously he said Dabo, but he's referencing Osama, like, just saying the name, is that just a name we can't say? Because there are a lot of things that, like, trigger emotion. Like, we can't just say, Don't ever say the word death because I know someone who died once. Now, this is obviously a different situation, but I'm just saying, like, what is off limits and why? If you just can't, if you read that and can't see the analogy he's trying, like the picture he's trying to paint, and you have to, I don't know what is disrespectful here. He just mentions maybe the world's worst terrorist and the fact that he had to go into hiding, and he was hiding in caves, and he was, you know, on kind of house arrest. He could not go out in public. If you've seen Zero Dark 30, you're aware of at least some of the situation. Good movie, by the way. Kind of tells the story perfectly. All he's saying is when I go back home now, I can't be out because, yeah, people there they don't like me anymore. And he uses the terrorist example to just paint the picture and like you said, use the extreme example so that people kind of understand. But he also, I mean, I don't think he's legitimately saying I'm treated like a terrorist when I go back to Alabama.
What if he had said that? That's worse, right?
No one would have cared. I swear to God, no one would have cared. If he just said, yeah, I'm like a terrorist now when I go back. I got to stay in hiding because if people see me, it's bad. If he just said that, this doesn't even get out. It's because he mentioned a specific person who was responsible for the worst terrorist attack on our country in its history. So that's the tie. But him saying the name, like what happened, and it was awful. But I don't know how him saying the name is in any way disrespectful to any of those events at all. He's clearly just making an analogy. This is in no way celebrating what Osama bin Laden did on September 11th, 2001. This is in no way celebrating the fact that he was in hiding for so long. He's just painting the picture because that's the obvious example that everybody knows about. Because there have been movies and documentaries and stories told about that specific timeline. So by referencing that, he's drawing the picture. Yeah, I cannot just walk down the street in Alabama when I go back to my hometown or when I'm, you know, recruiting some kid out of Huntsville. It is different now. But I mean, I don't know. Again, it wasn't the smartest choice because whether you agree that people should be offended or whether you think that they're incredibly, you know, dumb for being offended at something like this, he probably should have realized that they would be offended. But maybe he did, and he just...
Maybe he doesn't care.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't... I mean, people asking for his resignation, come on.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I mean, that guy seemed to be serious. I'm not serious. I don't think this is an issue. I think it's funny that people... Like, it was such a non-issue in February, but now we're in June, and Feinbaum gets a hold of it and blows it up. Why? Because it's June and nothing's going on, and Feinbaum wants something to talk about.
Alabama fans listen. I mean,
that's what this is. And now everybody has decided to just turn on the blame machine, right? Like social media, just the shame and blame game is going on. Oh my God, you cannot say that. What did he say? He said, "When I go home, I have to sneak around," and then made a reference to maybe the most obvious and widely known incident in which a guy who was disliked had to hide and sneak around.
Well, and I mean, we as a country ultimately found him and shot his ass. Like, we kind of want, you know, the whole sneaking around game, like you mentioned, he's not trying to break down.
No, he's the, that's what I'm saying.
The
like
current events,
no,
or the past.
And
events.
He's not. He in no way is he celebrating Osama bin Laden. No. I find this whole echo chamber very, very strange, and especially then, in this regard. Like Danny Cannell, who I normally hate, I think he's right. I think this is SEC Paul Feinbaum trying to find something to talk about. So he's just trying to stir up some, you know, anti-ACC, anti-Clemson, especially because, as you mentioned, Paul Feinbaum was on the radio in Birmingham forever. So the majority of his listeners, the majority of the people who tune in and watch his show every day are Alabama football fans. So he's pandering to his audience, and now all of these other people have piggybacked off of it to shout from the mountaintops, terrorism is bad. Yeah, man, we know. Like, I don't need you victory lapping that terrorists are bad by leeching on to this one-off comment that Dabo made when being asked about, did they wall off? I mean, how dare he talk about walls? Oh, my gosh. With what's going on in this country, we're going to talk about walls? With what happened in Germany all those years ago, we're going to make references to walls? How incensed? Get out of here. Like, stop. It was not the smartest thing to say, but, like, this should have been a, and then you turn the page and read the next article. Like, no one needed to write article after article after article calling Dabo insensitive and poor judgment. Oh my gosh, how could he?
And my problem with this whole thing is, like, if these people really care this much about these types of things, you know, the Jon Stewart clip is going around where he's actually, you know, arguing for real health care for
people. If you have 9 minutes today, by the way, and have not seen what Jon Stewart said to Congress yesterday, like, take 9 minutes. Or go find one of the abridged versions that's like 7 minutes, 5 minutes, or 2 minutes. Because, I think Jon Stewart... what Dabo said was stupid. I think what Jon Stewart said is probably how Dabo feels about 9/11.
I'm sure it's how most people.
That's what
feel.
I'm saying. It's like that's how the majority of the country feels about 9/11. So let's not take one word and turn it into, because that's essentially what people are saying is, Dabo Swinney does not care about the victims of 9/11, the first responders of 9/11. Dabo Swinney is pro-terrorist. Get out of here! Like, what are you talking about? But if you have 9 minutes, go watch that Jon Stewart clip because that is, It's always great to me when comedians or actors who people, because I don't think Congress expected this, right? They probably thought Jon Stewart's going to come in, he's going to make a couple jokes, and blah, blah. Like, Jon Stewart is incredibly intelligent, and he absolutely burned it down yesterday in his deliverance to Congress. It was sensational. Like, let's focus on that. That mattered. That was 9 minutes of substance. That was 9 minutes of fact. That was 9 minutes of get right now. Like, make this right. Not 2 seconds of half of a guy's name. Like, that's the kind of stuff we should be focused on. But again, it's Dabo Swinney. It's Clemson. So Paul Feinbaum's going to blow this thing up in June because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
These people have spent time writing articles and like
clicks
blowing
on the
it
internet.
Up.
Clicks
like,
on the internet.
It would have been better if they had just aggregated the Jon Stewart clip
yep.
so people would know what's going
well,
on.
But
actual people
you just
who
wait.
Matter.
Today, though, people are going to tie it together. Like, today there will be the articles. Here's what Dabo Swinney thinks of 9/11, and here's what great American Jon Stewart. I mean, it's coming. Mm. It's coming.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's hour three of Three and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold Gym, the official gym of Three and Out. It is Best Friends Week through the end of the week right now, and you can get zero enrollment, and it ends on Friday. So get to your local Gold's Gym. It's goldsgym.com to find the location nearest you, and swing in there and ask them about all the details. Now we go to former 12-week challenge winner. It's Davey Hudson with today's fitness tip of the day.
Today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day is to mix your grip to help you do more reps. You know, if your hands and forearms will give out before your back or your legs when you're doing deadlifts, chin-ups, inverted rows, or bent-over barbell rows, mix up your grip. With one palm facing towards you and one facing away, grab the bar and do the exercise. Then for the next set, switch both hands and keep alternating, and you can rest your grip while working with the hand the opposite way. And that is today's Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day. Nate, Billy, hope you both have a great rest of your day.
That was Davey Hudson with the Gold's Gym Fitness Tip of the Day. It's brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out.
Now, see, that one's clever.
You like that?
That's a funny dig.
So subtle.
Yeah, like it's that is a good one. The other one's stupid. That is good. Where he tries to pretend that it was live and he's been listening to the segment before.
Well,
dumb. That's funny.
Maybe Davey's been coached up in the how to take shots appropriately department. Maybe he's gone through a course. Maybe he's not really studying for the bar. Maybe he's been studying about how to be just a better, you know, personality.
Like, have better judgment?
Maybe.
I feel like judgment and law are pretty, they're pretty synonymous.
How much does he was telling us yesterday how much money you have to spend to, you know, take a course to study for the bar. There's all these registration fees and all this stuff. I mean, it was, you know, thousands of dollars riding on all that training. But if I want to be a judgment expert, Billy, what are the details there?
So, Smithmeyer. First of all, you need to call Smithmeyer.
You need to call him.
Cut the check.
Apparently, he uses this judgment index that everyone should use when they're trying to make decisions. Mm. It's called the judgment index. Well, it's called the judgment index. However, there's a course you can take. An online course. 7 sessions.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Judgment Index Learning Management System.
Oh. How helpful.
Seems very helpful. For only $220.
Oh, what a bargain. $220.
Things like this crack me up so much. How long is each session? And how do we know how big this ebook is? The judgment handbook, whatever it is.
I'll keep looking for
that. I mean, imagine he writes a book that is just common sense, right? And then films seven probably like 15-minute videos, posts it on a website, and then calls himself a judgment expert and goes on the Feinbaum show to tell everybody that Dabo Swinney's a crazy person.
Wait, is this judgmentindex.com or is that a different one?
This is it.
Based out of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I don't claim him. He's from across the border right there.
Improving.
That's a North Georgia, North Alabama guy for sure.
Improving strategic judgment.
There's a members forum.
Improving work-life balance.
I may request a brochure.
Dealing with frustration.
Case studies. See real-life examples of the judgment index in action.
You know none of this stuff. Like he actually studied. Like he just takes ideas from other people, puts them in a nice tidy box, and then for one low price. And then I would love to like get the brochure. Just sign up for the brochure and tell me if in the next week you don't get an email that says special offer. If you buy within the next hour, I'm gonna knock the price down by 50% just for you.
All right, I'm signing up. Hang on.
God,
you talk.
This stuff's so stupid. And the stuff, every single avenue of the world has this. Like, whether you're, do you want to be a better salesman? Do you want to be a better parent, better boyfriend/girlfriend? Sign up for my free system. But then they're going to try to piggyback you and get you to spend $299. But it's a great offer because if I sold all of these things separately, it'd be thousands of dollars. But I'm giving you this one low price. And if you buy now, I'll send you an extra ebook and you get into my members forum for free.
I have to select my areas of interest. Which ones would you like me to pick? Here are the options: recruitment, retention, individual development/coaching. Oh, we definitely need that. Team development/coaching, risk and safety management, injury management, sports performance, training.
This is all. I don't care anymore.
I'm just going to click them all.
All of it.
Yeah, I had to give him my phone number, so I give him the old house phone number.
He probably gets a text alert to his phone when somebody selects all of them. Like, he thinks he's got you in.
I am going to give an actual email so I can get spammed with this stuff.
Good.
See how it goes.
Yeah. No, he would never spam you. Like, you're definitely not going to get an email every day at 8 a.m.
Have you ever used psychometric testing for recruitment before?
Yes.
No.
Say yes.
Say yes.
I mean,
okay, yes. When are you looking to start recruiting?
That's a fancy way of saying, have you ever given your people interviewing for a job a personality test to see if they're a good fit for your culture? Like, this is psycho. But
no, I just usually talk to them and see what I think. Is that bad? Is that,
I don't know,
frowned upon?
Well, let's look at some of the people you've hired.
Could go either way.
Maybe you do need this course. Maybe it's worth it.
When are you looking to start recruiting? And you have to pick a date. Oh, man, I was hoping I could type in now.
Today. Right now. Well, no, put it today and see if, put today's date and see if that means he blasts you with emails immediately. I'm going to say it does.
All right.
I'm going to say that's exactly what happens to you.
I gave him my old defunct house phone number, so hopefully that doesn't, yeah, should be good. That was
they want your phone number?
That was required.
Too much.
Yeah, phone number.
That's too far.
You're not getting my phone number there, buddy.
It's going to be funny, though, when it says, now please confirm that you're a real person by responding to the text message we just sent you, and then you're going to have to go in and adjust your phone number. Buddy, I'm telling you.
Thank you for contacting us. We'll get in touch with you shortly. Looking forward to it, John.
The bot right now is categorizing you and deciding which email to send.
Customer relationship management system.
Because
sure
now it's
going
to pick the email that has the buzzwords in it that you selected, which is all of them. So it's going to be a real hodgepodge of information. It's like you were talking about fantasy football, how like they'll do that in this matchup. These two teams, it's a tight race. Like they kind of bought it together. Like it's ad libs, but Nate's Warriors had a tough week last week. It's like, well, this is so stupid. Can't wait to see what
there
you
are.
Get.
There are quotes by famous people scrolling by very slowly. I wanted to read the last one. And now it's scrolled off. I thought it was going to stay there. So that's annoying. Now there's one by Tacitus that says, quote, reason and judgment are the qualities of a leader. And judgment is always in italics with these quotes. Leadership comes down to a couple of things, in my opinion. One is responsibility, and two is judgment. That's from the Secretary of Defense for America from 2013 to 2015.
So he just picked quotes where people say the word judgment.
The word judgment. No, I'm getting a phone call right now. Yeah.
I thought you gave him the other number.
I did. That's not.
Oh, he hacked you. He hacked you. He is calling all numbers associated with the other number.
Maybe that's
your
it.
Toast. Mm. Just say goodbye.
I wonder if you can. This is incredible.
You gonna end up buying this or not?
No, I think I'll just read Proverbs. It's free.
Whoa! All right. Wasn't expecting that, but
I mean,
you just
know,
shut this guy down.
Wisdom, judgment. It's kind of the same thing, right?
They're
related.
Related, yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's a correlation there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just stick with free material. I mean, you know, we have the internet. We don't need to pay for common sense. You can Google anything.
Yeah, common sense is becoming very uncommon. So
it's a good point by you, Houston.
Just saying.
And we're back here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, and I have a grievance. I've been hacked! Chris, I got an email immediately.
I told you this would happen. Well, I don't know why you're
even... I expected the email.
Why are you surprised? I told you that they're going to... everything I said would happen has already happened.
Well,
and you're surprised. What, do you not trust me?
I joked.
Horrible judgment by you. You need this course.
I joked.
You should listen to the people you trust. I tried to tell you.
You did.
I warned you,
it's
and
true.
You didn't listen.
I expected an email, and I got one immediately. Hi, Nate. Thank you for your interest in the Judgment Index. One of our JI team will be in contact with that's weird. One of our JI team will be in contact with you shortly, or you may contact us during business hours and they give their Chattanooga phone number. Mm-hmm. Well, then I get a 615 call immediately,
and you were like, oh, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
This can't be, I don't know, buddy. I
some
you,
other
that's him.
You know, the FCC has come down hard on these robocalls. They're trying to help. Do you know your cell carrier can now block these things for you without you even having to
sign up
for anything?
But this was not a robocall.
Shouts out to the FCC.
This was a real man calling you.
I guess.
You guess. He says, hi, Nate. This is so-and-so.
He does.
I thought I could get you since you just signed up. What did I say? I said he probably gets an alert to his phone the moment someone checks all of the boxes because that means that they're a high probability target.
I gave him my...
And your freaking phone rings in 2 minutes and you're like, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, my God.
I gave him
I told you what would happen.
Defunct phone number. I don't even know what happened
here. You don't mess
here.
With my guys.
I've been hacked.
This better be the last time you don't listen to me.
I appreciate the hustle. I mean, that's... I mean, boom.
He's on it. I mean.
Well, I mean, when you're selling crap like this, you better be on it. I think this proves it. That's good judgment.
Hey, speed sells.
Time kills deals, Houston. Like,
if you were at all interested in this, how you would feel so appreciated.
I mean, I could have this locked in for our whole company.
Maybe it's not a bad idea.
We had some long meetings yesterday here. Right? Maybe next week. This could be the point of emphasis.
Judgment. I feel like there's some guys at the station that could use a judgment lesson.
You know, I'm starting to warm up to this. It's starting to work.
Because you feel loved because he called so quick.
Immediately. I love the attention.
Tell everyone how he got your number. Idiot.
Stupid Google Forms. When I put in a defunct old home phone number that I no longer use, but somehow his form, I guess, once I put in an actual email, it auto-corrected backwards. Up the form where I couldn't even see it. Mm. Always got to check those things. It's good PSA.
That's part of their plan. They're not going to give us a fake number. No chance.
Hi, Nate, and good morning. This is Roger Wall with the Judgment Index. I had just finished up a call, and I saw where you had just sent a message, and I thought by happenstance I might be
I
able
just
to
got
catch
off
you
a call.
For a quick moment.
Sure.
If you'd be kind enough to give me a call, I would appreciate it. You can reach me at area code 61.
Don't give his number out.
I'm not. Okay, I'm not going to dox him.
Okay. I was like, good God. I was just on a call. It's
my number is
6. Well, we know it's Nashville now. It's 8:40 in Nashville. Who the hell's he talking to before business is open?
I was
on a call.
Got an alert.
You woke him up. His phone went off.
Somebody checked all the boxes. It's your favorite line. Somebody checked all the boxes. Well, it's a start today.
That's my special buzz. When someone checks all the boxes, I got to wake up and make this call.
He didn't use good judgment because he just wasted his time leaving that voicemail. So that's
No, he didn't. He doesn't know you're lying. How would he know that?
Because I checked. Who checks all the boxes and wants to start
people
today?
Who are really interested in learning judgment stuff. I mean, this is not hard. You also said I want to start today, so he knew it was a time sensitive thing. He had to get on it. I appreciate his effort. I think he's using great judgment.
Mm, all right.
I think this is intelligent moves by, what was his name, Charles?
I don't know. We could have. Should have put like a date like 3 years ago.
I cannot believe
the day
you
Bush
are
Jones
surprised by any of this.
That's what you should have put in.
Coaching search.
Yeah.
Shiano Sunday.
We want to go back in time and give Dave Hart better judgment.
I'd really like to deliver this to someone.
Now, if time travel came with this, I'd be all in.
Yeah, the address is Wake Forest, North Carolina. Send it to Attention John Curry, if you could. University? Okay.
Have you seen Tennessee fans? They still take shots at John Curry.
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
Keeps blocking them.
I'd block people, too, if I was him. I mean, hell, if someone told me how dumb I was every day, I'd probably get kind of tired of it.
Yeah, some of the jokes were pretty good. I wish I could remember the
last
one.
Yeah, there were
one.
Some really good
jokes. He was bragging about their golf team, I think, and I don't know, somebody just
hey, I'm here.
Crushed him.
I've hired none of these coaches, and look at the success they're having.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of judgment, I think the NFL has used fantastic judgment.
Yeah.
Did you see that Hard Knocks announced the team?
There was a rumor it was going to be some other team that seemed pretty boring. This is much, much better.
Gruden.
Gruden.
It's Gruden.
Of course it is.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Like
he's an attention, you know what?
Yeah, and he's got TV experience, and if my guess is he does all that stuff because he's an ego-driven maniac – who's likable sometimes, and so I'm sure he was all for it. But isn't he also like kind of a weirdo? Like my guess is he probably won't let them have quite as much fun with what they get to film and show and clip and so on and so forth. But just listening to him yell at practice will be fun. Antonio Brown's there. It could be interesting. I'm with you, though. I thought maybe they'd wait for the move to Vegas to kind of showcase – whatever that whole situation is going to look like. But no, I think Hard Knocks, Gruden, Raiders. Also, this is – normally Hard Knocks is a team that ends up being kind of terrible. I think the Raiders could actually be kind of good this year. So it's weird in a good way that this is the team. Because I think John Gruden's just a very interesting – he's just a good character, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's got personality. Got Mike Mayock in the building. I don't know anything about their assistant coaches, but this could be good.
You got Antonio Brown.
Sure. I mentioned him. Like that'll be half the show probably.
And the Carr drama and the running backs.
A lot of stuff with Carr.
Josh Richards and to win the job and the
Davis with that bowl cut. Hopefully he's around a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fantastic. Now I don't know because what were the other options like the Giants? That would have been awful. Giants would have been horrible. The Vikings, I wouldn't have enjoyed the Vikings, but this is the right move.
Have you seen where like Giants people have tried to say that Giants people.
They have Giants.
Have said that
where's the big woman?
Daniel Jones is a combination of Eli and Peyton Manning.
I mean, that's a pretty good.
It's like, can we at least get training camp started before the buzz hits? Can we before you start promoting the you know what I'm saying? It's annoying.
It's fans in the off season, except Tennessee fans, because we just fight about our quarterback.
No, I think some beat reporter said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
Talk about clicks on the internet. Trying to sell a subscription to some paper, probably.
I mean, if he looks like Eli now in the face and throws like Peyton Manning does now, that
he does
he's
look.
Retired,
have you seen the side by side pictures? It's unbelievable. It's like crazy. You probably couldn't tell who's who.
Yeah.
If you had only, you know, we know what Eli looks like because he's the older of the two, and he's been on, you know, camera for a million years.
They wear numbers.
But man, they look, well, I was saying a face shot. I'm just saying they look like their expressions are identical. Like they're, Eli always has that dumb look on his face. Mm-hmm. So does Daniel Jones. Like he always just looks like he's an idiot. He always just looks like he got asked to solve some trig question that he has no idea what he's doing. Just
The five eligible teams for Hard Knocks were, of course, the Raiders, the Redskins, Lions, 49ers, and Giants.
Yeah, they had to pick the Raiders out of that crew. Good job, NFL.
I mean, a couple of those others could have been decent, but the Raiders is by and far the best selection. Not even close.
Well, it's good, too, because I think people are still on the fence of, are the Raiders a train wreck, or is this maybe something that John Gruden really can kind of fix and turn around? And this will give us a good peek behind the curtain as to what's really going on.
Richie Incognito is also with the Raiders. So that's another drama.
Okay, yeah.
A drama point, as they call it in the reality TV world. We got a drama point
Yikes.
Here. Yep. All right,
Yikes.
We'll come back. Final segment, hour number three. Stick with us. It's Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program as we jump around to different topics.
Jump around. Mm-hmm. I get it. Nice job. That's the kind of subtlety I'm here for.
Usually when I ask people if they want the good news or the bad news first, they always say, just give me the bad first.
Mm-hmm.
You had a stat you wanted to get to.
Yeah.
So I think we should start there and then try and end the show on a good note to make people feel better.
Okay. College football kings. Dating back to 2007, here's Tennessee's record against top 10 teams. They made it like a really nice graphic, like the power tee, the Nike swoosh, Tennessee Volunteers, orange white, a little faded shot of Neyland Stadium. Since 2007, against top 10 teams, Tennessee is 0-30. 0-30. Against top 10 teams in the last 12 years.
Man. I mean, normally I don't like stats where like a team will play the number one team in the country and they'll be like, this school's never beaten the number one team in the country. And you look at it, it's like, well, they've played it three or four or five times over like 100 years.
Right.
And, you know, it's the number one team in the country. They're usually pretty damn good. But you've had 30 chances. 30.
That's my thing. Like, I realize we haven't been good. Like, I totally get you haven't been good for a long time.
I mean, if that stat was like 4-26, I'd be like, okay, we've been bad. We weren't top 10.
But 0-30.
We were underdogs.
You haven't even gotten lucky.
No.
You haven't stole one.
You haven't even been that, well, top, you know, ninth team in the country that's a little overrated, goes on the road to Neyland Stadium and gets, you know, trap gamed. You haven't even lucked into that. 0-30.
And there are only five games in that 30-game span that Tennessee came within 7 points.
I was going to say, you were competitive in five of them. Five out of 30 you were competitive in and lost all of them, not to mention the 25 you were not competitive in. Mark Nagy tweeted out this morning, I've never remembered a season going into it that had as little hype as this one. Yeah, I think he's right. Like, first year Jeremy Pruitt, there was a little hype. You were hopeful. Last year of Butch Jones, it wasn't hype. It was like this, you shook the bottle, and we were just waiting to unleash the anger because you knew what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like there was it was a bad expectation. It was like negative hype. I mean, I'm right there. Every time you guys want to talk about ranking SEC quarterbacks, I can't even freaking do it. I'm just like, no. Everyone wants to break down the roster. I can't do it. Well, what if they fix the offense? Sorry, just can't. I need to see it. It just has to get here. Then I can talk about it. But this projection stuff, yeah, it's hard because,
One in Stripes informs you that we're 1-30 versus the top 11.
Who was the 11?
South Carolina.
Were they 11th? So the one team we beat was South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's more the outlier there, that South Carolina was top 11, or that's our – But, yeah, so only one way to go.
Is this the worst record in Division I? Because Tennessee's played so many opponents.
Has to be. Davey asked us this question in the group thread, and I don't know if it is, but has any other team since 2007 played a top 10 team 30 times?
That's what I was saying. Like, Vandy doesn't have a win, but they haven't also played 30 opponents
right
in the top 10.
Like, I really don't want to do this, but maybe we should. I wonder if we went back and collectively ranked difficult schedule, like the last 10 years, what school over the last 10 years has had the average most difficult schedule? I would say Tennessee is damn close at the top. Because like every other year, you know, it's like Temple has the toughest schedule in the country, Tennessee fifth. But then the next year, Temple doesn't schedule games, you know, at wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee still has Bama, still has Georgia, still has Florida, still draws the good team from the West. I would be willing to bet Tennessee is at the top or near the top of top 30 teams. And I would say Tennessee over the last 10 years would have the most difficult schedule of teams in the Power Five. I would probably go on record and say that. Because we've had Alabama every year in their run, because we've been so unlucky in our West draw, and because Georgia and Florida have each had their kind of up years, not to mention South Carolina, not to mention Oklahoma, not to mention Oregon. Like, we are bad at this. And here we go scheduling more Oklahomas in the future. We don't make it easy on ourselves.
I'm guessing.
I love the people, though, that say, don't back away from anybody. You're 0-30. Schedule a win. I'm so angry. Well, we're Tennessee. We don't back down from anybody. Yeah, you're getting your ass kicked 30 times. And some of these teams you can't run away from. There's just nothing you can do. But why would you not run away from the others?
My guess is unbelievable. My guess is it'd be Tennessee and a bunch of SEC West teams at the top.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But I don't know. Maybe Auburn, because obviously they get Georgia every year on the other side and have Alabama every year and would play a similar strength schedule. And then they've played Clemson a couple times.
I mean, in fairness, only three of these teams are outside the SEC. Oregon twice and Oklahoma.
There were five top 10 teams in 2013, which is crazy. Almost half of your schedule was against a top 10 opponent.
Yeah, that year was brutal.
That was Butch's first year, wasn't it? Right? 2013?
Yeah.
Or was he 2012? Was 2012 his first year?
I think so. It all runs together now.
I tried to forget.
No, Dooley was 10, 11, 12. Butch was 13. That was welcome to the job.
And
kiddo.
You had South Carolina that year.
Yeah, you won that one. Because they weren't in the top 10.
They were 11? Is that really when they were 11?
Yeah. 2013. That was the field goal at the end.
What was Auburn this past year? Weren't they ranked
17th? Maybe
they had just lost. Yeah, so they were down.
All right, I figured they were at least
no time. Well, hey, if you're 11 through 25, bring it on. But let's steer clear of the top 10.
Well, I was gonna get to some more pleasant news, you know, with like Florida not being able to close their recruiting, and you know,
nine of the 30 were against number one, by the way.
Ah. Man, maybe we'll get to some of that tomorrow. Tune in then, 7 o'clock in the morning. We'll be back here on 3 and Out. The Blitz is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.